Welcome back to Worst First. I have a very fun guest today. She's a comedian, entertainer, extraordinaire, Skims wearer.
I'm wearing Skims, bitches. Give that bitch some more money.
Skims model Annie Letterman. That's what I'm just going to put in the, I'm just going to put that in the bio, that you're a Skims model.
Yes, I am a Skims model.
So how did you become a Skims model? Tell us everything.
Little Esther, I call her Little Edgar. My male counterpart, she's my Chewy.
We love Little
She was just like, you have to try Skims. And I was like, go fuck yourself. I'm not trying Skims, you piece of like, how dare you?
Yeah.
And then just, she said it so many times that I got into my subconscious and I was like,
What is so great about it? Tell me everything.
Honestly, it just looks this one's a little low. It doesn't maybe make my boobs look as good as the other ones, but they just are flattering.
Like they hug your body.
And they're just a good product.
Is it like Spanx?
I never tried the ones that are Spanx. I don't roll that way.
You're like, I do Skims, not Spanx.
Well, I just, you know, the ones that like shove your body in, I've never found ones that actually do the things I need.
Oh. So this actually pulls you in the right directions and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have like too much like arm fat. You know, usually you have like that over fat thing.
Right. And what's the price point on this?
The price point, this might have been like 60 or 70.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad. It's, if you're Kim Kardashian, you could probably bring it down a little, but.
Yeah. I mean, especially because she's probably having them made in China and the person that's making them is getting paid 3 cents.
Younger than her children. Maybe she makes the woman who carry her children make the.
Oh my God. Well, they look good on you.
Thank you.
Do you just get them off the website?
I get them off the website.
Okay, this just turned into a whole Skims ad. They're sponsoring the podcast.
You know what
the
do? I fall for marketing.
I do too. I fall for everything.
But they do a thing where they don't, it's like not release. You know, they're like, oh my God, like they're all out. And then she releases them and you get the email where it's like, they've just, and then you're like, I got to get them. But I think I've tapped out on Skims. I have like 4 pieces.
You have 4 pieces? Yeah, that's a good amount of money that you've given to her.
Your dog is so short.
I know.
Cute.
She's a wiener dog. Nina the Wiener. She's 6.
Really? She looks like a puppy.
Thanks. Yeah, she's, I mean, my other one did too. He just
I'm
died.
Sorry about
he was
Wiki.
16.
I know, I saw that. That's so sad.
He
I can't
looked
believe
like a puppy
though.
Forever.
So cute.
It was so weird. Like a week before he died, he was like totally fine. Like not fine. I mean, he was in kidney failure for years and I just was getting him fluids and everything
Who
every
isn't?
Week.
Who isn't
right,
in kidney
exactly.
Failure?
And then just out of nowhere, it was so sad. He just took a heavy decline. Like it was just like over Thanksgiving break, of course, conveniently when everything's closed.
Yes, of course.
His original vet was closed and I was like, oh my God. And he just started having trouble breathing and then it just was like a nightmare anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he's still here. His spirit's here.
Yeah,
he's
I think
he's probably peeing on
us.
You right now.
Yeah. I can feel, I smell some shit. Maybe shit on the floor.
He did. It's ghost shit.
Now, do your dogs pee in the house?
No. Outside. Why does your dog pee in the house? Tell
well,
us
he's
everything.
Still, he's still new. My dog's 4 months.
Where did
months.
You get your dog?
I got, well, this is a, it's a.
Is this a worst?
Well, it's, yeah, I, you know what? It is a worst. And I'm going to take myself as a victim of this experience. I was a victim.
Tell us everything.
I do play to camera.
Hey, we'll guys. Both play to camera.
Like you'll see my eyes once. Like, hey guys, follow me. Anyway, it's desperate energy, but it's not desperation. It's just joy and you'll love me. Or hate me, which is popular people are hated. So I got my dog. I decided I want to get a dog and my live-in assistant.
You have an assistant?
Well, he's a live-in, you know, it's a live-in
Your
assistant.
Roommate.
Yeah, he's like a roommate.
Do you pay this person?
No.
Okay.
You know when you don't want to like say things out loud about your life, but you just kind of, he's just like a cute guy that.
Oh, is it your boyfriend?
Yeah, maybe he's a boyfriend. But
okay, he's an assistant.
He's an assistant.
Okay.
We don't, you know.
Right.
But he was like, all right, we're getting a dog. It's time. So I'm like, all right. And I don't know how to get a fucking dog. I'm friends with Olivia Munn, but I was new friends with her. And she's like the poster child of.
Rescues. Yeah, she's always.
But I don't really, and Whitney's always talking about dogs, but I don't really know what rescue means. I'm like, shop. I'm like, I want a cute one. I don't, how do you get a cute one?
Yeah.
So I just went on Craigslist. Okay.
Stop.
And we just looked, and there was one dog that was like 1 year old that someone was like, couldn't keep. So it was like a good story. It wasn't tragic or anything.
Uh-huh.
And so we went to go see, I can't remember where it was. It was in like Palmdale. It was somewhere bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove like an hour and a half to go see this dog. And then the guy like wasn't at the address he said. And then the address he gave us was a park. And then it was getting darker. Oh, and I was like, God. Oh, he's robbing us. Like, we're about to get fucking murdered.
He's like,
raped and murdered. Hopefully murdered first, if you're a nice guy. Rape my corpse. Do not make me live through this. So we just left. And then I was so disappointed. And then this other lady just hit me up and she showed me these two puppies. And it was like this nice, happy Mexican lady, like holding two puppies that look exactly the same. So I was like, oh, she has like a litter. So we go over there and they're like one family's leaving with one dog. And then there's another family meeting them and then they're meeting us. And it's like this business. And
I'm oh,
like,
my oh. God.
So I started to be like, all right.
She's a breeder.
Yeah, this is something. And so we go see the dog and there's two dogs and one's just the cutest dog in the entire world. I mean, he was just so cute.
Your dog is the one you got?
Yeah, he's just so cute.
Yeah.
And so, and he just had a cute personality. And so we bought him and.
How much did she charge you for
$800
$800? She's like, it's a rescue.
Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, can you give me a fake rescue paper?
You're like, I got to show this to my friend Olivia Munn.
But
can
I
you just
still
say-
am not like, so at this point, like Olivia was like, I had met her maybe once or twice. Yeah. And she was like, if you need a dog, like, let me know. Like, I'll help you get one. And I was like, okay. But I was like, I want one now. Like,
yeah. I'm it's like hard
a,
because.
I'm addict-y, you know what I mean? I'm like, I want a thing now. And I'm not going to wait for like a cute one.
It's hard to get the cute ones because they go quick.
Yes.
I follow a small dog rescue called Toby's Small Dog Rescue. Do you follow them? Like they have cute ones, but every time I've ever reached out.
Where do you get the cute one?
They cherry pick. Yeah. It's like they go to the shelters and they cherry pick and then they sell them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of still breeding.
I heard a theory. My friend used to work at Vanderpump and he, Vanderpump didn't do this. Vanderpump Dogs, not the restaurant, but Vanderpump Dogs. Didn't do that, but he said he thinks that a lot of the breeder or a lot of the rescues will go get dogs kind of the way I got them and then bring them in as rescues to sort of make their place look
like better. Dogs. Yeah.
But I, you know.
Also, they have people that like wait at the shelters and then they get the dog for like $50 and then they charge you $150 or $300 to adopt it. And so it's actually like its own business.
Right.
Not to like shit on rescues because what they do is so good.
Right.
You know, but some of them are, you know, it's all a money making thing, a lot of it.
Listen, I feel like this was a rescue type situation. He was in this.
What was the
family.
House like?
I didn't go into the house. They brought us to the laundry room. Okay. Because I don't think they could have brought us in because when, okay, so the two dogs looked alike. And I go, oh, they're brother and sister. And they go, no. And I go, what the fuck? Why are they
twins?
These different dogs?
It's like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Yeah, you're like, they're not related.
These cannot be related. Let's just say they weren't the property brothers, but anyway, so, okay. So I go, what? I'm like, you know, I go, where are they from? And she goes, Mexico. I'm like, okay. So listen, I'm starting to realize maybe this is a puppy mill situation or something like that. But at this point, I've seen the dog. I want the dog.
He's so
cute.
How old is he now?
He's 4 months now.
He's so small still.
He's a little bit bigger and I haven't posted as much with him because
he got bigger and you're embarrassed.
He got mange.
How did he get mange? Tell us everything.
Well, they get it. They get mange is mites. It's bugs.
Right.
That all dogs have them, but their immune systems are supposed to be able to fight them off and keep them from breeding and becoming, you know.
Crazy.
So these little microscopic little fuckers, my dog had a low immune system, so they don't get it for like 6 weeks. So when we got him, he was perfect, adorable, cute. And then all of a sudden he's scratching his eyes out. There's bleeding. I was losing my fucking mind.
Did you take him to the vet?
Took him to the vet. Put him on medicine, but he still had to like scab up and then all the hair fell out. So now he's like bald around his mouth and his eye.
Is it going away?
It's starting to grow back. Yeah.
So it has to fall out and then get back.
Yeah. But it's like,
God,
you know,
what a nightmare.
Well, it's just shallowly. It's sad because his puppy years are now.
You're like, not posting any more photos.
Well,
you just keep posting puppy pictures. People are like, wow, this dog doesn't get older.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, throwback Thursday. They're like, you've had the dog a week.
It's Monday, Annie.
Yeah, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. Mange Monday. I'll post him on Monday.
I want to see the mange photo.
He still
that's
looks
so crazy.
Cute. He still looks cute, but
so
it's
that's
a different
fucking
topic.
A nightmare.
People were giving me so much shit when they found out I didn't adopt him from
what kind
rescue.
Of dog is he? He looks like he's adopted.
Well, he was supposed to be. Now he definitely looks adopted.
You should post a picture and say, try to tell me my dog wasn't adopted now.
Well, Brittany, I was such a cunt about it. I was being such a stupid bitch about it. Like, people would be like, is your dog adopted in the beginning? Like, is your dog? And I'd be like, no, he's cute. Ew, how dare you? And then now it's like the Lord struck him.
Yeah, people attacked you, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I got a lot of shit, but I was also like,
I mean,
he's already born.
If you kind of think about it, they're all adopted because they all need homes.
Yeah. What are you pushing them out of your puss?
I didn't adopt Nina. I mean, this was 6 years ago before adopting was super cool.
I didn't
cool.
know what it was.
But, you know, I was kind of swooned. I was kind of swift into getting her. Oh, is that him now?
Yeah, this is him now.
Wow. What a shame.
No, but he's really the bald spots?
What's his name?
Randy.
Randy after?
Randy Jackson Quaid. All the best Randys.
Stop. What kind of dog do you think he is?
We think maybe he's Chihuahua and Maltese.
Okay.
I don't think there's any poodle in that dog.
And you paid $800 for that.
I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? But you know what? Honestly, like, I'm like,
$800
matter to you in this house? What does $800 feel to you like now?
It still feels the same because I pay for all my own shit still. I mean, I don't pay rent.
Oh, my God.
I
Tommy,
know.
Get
bad,
up here.
Bad
Daddy.
Deal. Bad deal, right? No, it's funny. Like, I have a credit card for, like, when I go grocery shopping and, like, I have.
Are you one of those people that, like, now you buy, like, clothes at Whole Foods just to get free stuff?
I try, but it's like the credit card doesn't let you take money out. So I can only shop at Ralph's.
Can I return this for cash?
I'm like, do you guys have any tube tops here at Whole Foods? Erewhon? No?
I got to lend you some Skims.
Yeah, I need some Skims. No, it's kind of funny. Everyone assumes that about me. They're like, oh, you must be, you know, so rich now. But my husband is very rich. I have a credit card. You know, he takes care of things. Like, yeah. Obviously, vacations, dinners, yeah. Whatever. And
he you makes
know.
Sure you look pretty, too. I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's not going to like.
No, actually.
He doesn't pay for your hair and stuff?
No. I'll tell you why.
Get his ass.
I know. He doesn't
here.
Believe in Botox, fillers, or any of that. And I'm like, well, you better believe it because it's standing right in front of you. A whole bottle of Restylane right in your face.
It's silently staring at you. Yeah. And not moving. Yeah.
So he doesn't believe in any
I
of that.
I have nothing yet.
You have nothing?
Nothing yet. I've never done it. I've done no lasers or anything yet. When I get the money, I'll come. You can tell me what to do.
You don't need anything. How have you done nothing?
I think I just don't drink or
move smoke. Your face naturally.
No, I move it a lot. I'm
but you don't
mad.
Have wrinkles. How old are you?
37.
You look really young.
Thank you. I think it's the tiny tits.
No, I mean, it's crazy because you've never done anything and your skin is really good.
Or he's like, it's crazy because you've never done anything in your life and you're 37.
No.
That's
no.
literally where my... That's nice.
Just in a negative mind spiral.
I have been in a negative mind spiral.
Tell me everything.
To get
why?
Out
what's
it.
Happening?
There's construction in my apartment.
Okay.
And I just did like the Comedy Store documentary came out. I've had a lot of like really good career moments, but they're not translating into like being able to pay for fucking anything.
Right.
So I'm living in this apartment that's in the middle of construction. So the construction's surrounding the apartment.
That sounds
so it's
horrible.
Just things
just noise all day.
My,
just
all
hammered.
Day. Things falling off my wall. Just like stress in the apartment building. The dog getting sick. Just all this stuff. Not being able to work. It's just really...
Are you getting any kind of unemployment or anything right now or anything?
No, I'm not. I was in the beginning.
Sucks.
And then I started doing like merch and stuff. So I was like, but I just have to get my merch. It's up to me. It's not, you know.
I know it is, but also it is really hard right now yeah. for a lot of people. Like I think, definitely, yeah. I feel for you. I mean, so wait, like I feel for you. In my
her dog. I'm looking at her dog's like fully like furred eyes. I'm like, oh. You feel
wait,
for her? Fucking eyes with full fur on her fucking eyes?
Did your assistant have a job?
My assistant, yeah, he's an editor. No, everything's fine,
so
too, and
good.
I just have to get my podcast going. I like how you do this.
Yeah, this is great because, you know, we had a studio set up,
yeah.
And then obviously COVID
right.
hit, and they're like, sorry, you don't have a studio anymore, so I just set this up in the house.
Right, I like it.
And you do it all yourself, and it's actually super easy.
One-man band.
And I'm getting a, like, divider, like a plastic yeah. divider, so we could still see
so
each other.
Fun, like
right
this.
Now, we're just...
My ex-boyfriend was in prison. I always wanted to go visit him and do this.
Was he in prison?
Yeah.
Tell us everything. What
oh,
happened
wait, do
to
you wanna,
your
wait, let me tell you about losing my virginity.
Yeah, tell me
okay,
everything.
Let's start.
Okay,
let's
tell me. Let's
one.
Get into the worst.
Okay.
I mean, it's already the worst that your dog got mange. That's the worst.
It was bad. I mean, but it is mostly shallow because he's not uncomfortable anymore. It's just me being like, grow back, hair. Grow back. I'm going to be
cute you.
Before you're a grown up.
I feel you're like, I can't send out Christmas pictures this year.
I'm like, I mean, but he is like ugly cute now. He looks like he's half chicken. Well, I've been telling everyone because Rob Schneider is, and he was like, I told him that I was going to get the dog vaccinated. And he was like, don't vaccinate him. It'll change his DNA. And I was like, I think that's the plot to.
Is Rob Schneider an anti-vaxxer?
I think openly. Yeah. Openly he is. I'm like, I'm not
outing
him. I love him. But.
I love Rob Schneider too. But maybe that's why he is the way he is.
No, but wasn't the animal, wasn't like the plot to the animal?
the DNA know,
anyway, but he. he was like, the DNA will change. And I was like, Rob, what are you talking about? And then it's like funny because he is literally half chicken now.
Oh,
he
my looks, God.
It looks like his feathers.
Okay, wait. Quick question about vaccines. Would you get the COVID vaccine?
Mm-hmm.
You would? Mm-hmm. No problem.
I think I would like wait a week. I might not be the first person, but I'd be like the third. Like, I just want to see if someone dies. And then I'm like, okay.
They're paying people right now to take it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe you could get on that.
I mean, how much? Let's see how it's worth. I would like to see, I haven't seen my parents yet.
How long has it been?
It's been almost a year.
And they're in Philly?
Yeah.
So are mine. I know. I haven't seen mine either. My dad, because they're old.
Yeah.
You don't want to risk it. You know what I mean?
Like, imagine I'm the one that killed, like, because, you know, how many times they're like, you're going to kill me.
Yeah, I know. And then you literally do. I know. The crazy thing is I was looking at the statistics this morning, and for our age group in the 30s, we have a 10% chance of dying from COVID, which
10%
is pretty high, 9.9%.
But who of our age is dying?
In California, I'll show you the graph.
You have to show us the people.
This is crazy.
I need to see the body.
I'll show you the graph. You know,
I'm certainly
actually
not anti-vax, but I'm
okay. So then, and then
I want to know. Like, this whole thing is so.
You don't know anyone who's died from it?
I don't know anyone that's died from it.
I don't know anyone that's died from it personally, but I've heard of people dying from it, which is
oh, you're so
scary.
Cute.
I know, she's so fucking
oh my
cute.
Goodness.
I know, she's
is
like
she
my
lonely
best friend.
Now?
She's super lonely, and I was thinking about getting another dog, but I feel like she kind of likes it, and I'm like, maybe you kind of like it. Okay, yeah, so here we go. This is coronavirus cases are skewing younger, but older Californians make up the vast majority of deaths, and this is, it's saying that 11% of California total has coronavirus cases, so ages 35 to 49, we have a 5.7% chance of dying if we get it. Ages 60 to 64, like our parents, 7.6% chance of dying.
My mom's 69, my dad's 79. It is, I'm not giving
so then COVID. That age group is 9.7%. So they have almost a 10%
that's
chance
crazy.
Of dying. Here's the really fucked up part. 80-year-olds have a 43%.
I know, my dad's 79, that's 80. But they don't go out. They're so paranoid.
No, it's
thank God.
Scary.
I'm glad that they are because
my girlfriend back home, her best friend got it, and she told me it's like she can't even lift her arms to like brush her hair. She's weak.
Oh my God, she's gonna get so fat.
She feels like she can't.
Oh no,
breathe.
She gets skinny.
No, you get really skinny.
But it doesn't look
you
good.
You go
skinny.
Get it.
I'm like,
you're like,
no, I have a stomach ulcer right now, down 13 pounds.
Okay, tell me everything about that. How did you get the stomach ulcer? Because
I always think
I have one. Stress.
Well, I think it was the stress of the apartment mm-hmm. and the dog and all that. I don't know. I just got like started getting really nauseous all the time. And I was like, I'm not pregnant. So what the fuck is wrong with me?
Uh-huh. You
and
went to the doctor.
And then I was shitting.
Blood.
Black, which means the blood
tar,
started up
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so I diagnosed myself online.
WebMD.
I WebMD.
You found out you had stomach ulcer, but you thought it was cancer first, didn't you?
You know what? I didn't think it was cancer. I was more worried it was pregnancy because I was like, how embarrassing.
Do you get black stools from pregnancy?
No, but before when it was the puking, I was how embarrassing to like get an abortion on your crow's feet.
You're like, ew, my
but
assistant
like,
got me pregnant.
I'm like, ew, how did this happen? He's fired. But then so I went and I, you know, I went to an urgent care or whatever, and I'm still waiting on these test results to see if I have H. pylori, which is the bacteria. And then you just take an antibiotic.
Oh my
but it
God.
Does start to feel better. I'm telling you, it's positive thinking. I got in such a spiral.
Yeah, that'll do
I got
it.
So depressed. I had such an upswing. I had so much fun doing the Comedy Store documentary. And, you know, I did Rogan's podcast with Whitney over the summer, and that was really fun. And I've been on this like really fun ride. And then I knew I started to neglect my self-care. I stopped meditating. I stopped doing breath work and stuff like that. And I saw it coming, but it still hit me.
The stress will physically like cause your body to fall apart, which is crazy. And I've learned
that. It really
is. Do you take anything?
No, I don't take anything.
Nothing. No antidepressant, nothing.
No, I don't want to. I have like a theory for myself. This isn't for anyone else. I completely support anyone taking whatever they want to take, but I want to obviously have a good life at the moment, but I'm very, very interested in being like a really fun, happy, elderly person.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to do everything I can to make sure that I'm like with it and happy and doing good. okay. when I'm old. I want to like peak in my 80s.
You feel like if you took something that would fuck it up.
I don't want to do anything now that right. would fuck it up in the future. Not that I know any of what that is, but.
Right.
And I also think I can, so much of my depression and anything that happens, even my substance abuse was all repressed trauma.
Okay.
So then now I'm like, okay, I got to deal with that repressed trauma. And I've done a lot of work with, like I did ayahuasca a couple times.
How was that?
It was fucking amazing.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was incredible. Are you sober?
I'm pretty Ish. Sober. I yeah. don't drink. I don't smoke weed. I mean, I take an antidepressant and I
that's not
take CBD. Count. So that's peeps in the sober community. People say is taking CBD is not technically sober.
That
but
is so
I, it's
fucking
sober.
Annoying.
But it's sober to me.
That's
but
why yeah. I quit AA. I was yeah, like, come
I
on.
Drink. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. Nothing. Yeah. That's all way behind me. But I want to hear about ayahuasca because they do consider that like not to do that too. But you did this. Ayahuasca.
I think it's so helpful for that.
It's
type
all natural.
Of stuff.
Yeah, and it is. You're like the second person I've talked to that said with trauma, it's like really yeah. great and really opens you up.
Yeah, it so, really lets you see. Like it just was. I mean, it was crazy. You just see how you have all the answers inside yourself, and you're searching outwardly. You're trying to like escape yourself, but really, like everything you need is already in you.
So you took it and you didn't feel sick, or do you feel sick?
Oh, you puke. You shit. It's crazy. Oh, it's insane.
Where did you do it?
I did it. I have a shaman who, the whole story of how I met my shaman was, I was at the Comedy Store and I was in a fucking shitty mood. I was dating this fucking, it was just like an old fuck boy. Like, where you're just like, oh my God. It's so weird when you're like, why would I date an older guy that's never been, like, obviously they like.
There's a reason why.
Yeah, they're just like. But I had like gone on a date, like he wanted me to meet his friends, but he was also like, I'm not interested in a relationship. I'm like, why am I meeting your friend? It was like this annoying, it was like 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago. And so I had just gone bowling with him and his friends, and I was like just in the worst mood. And I had a spot in the main room, and I was like doing my, and I was like talking shit on him. I was like on stage.
On stage with his friends there?
No, he wasn't there, and his friends weren't there, but I was just like talking shit on the experience and stuff. And it wasn't like developed jokes or anything. And I don't even know if I had a good set or not, but it was like, I was being raw and real. I was being yeah. very real. And I got off stage, like, and I saw this, there was a woman and a man, and they just were kind of like, I know this sounds weird, but they were glowing. Like, they were just like this sweet, I just was like, who are these people? And they were like, hello. And they like had accents and they high-fived me. And I was like, oh, high five. They're so nice. And then I went, it was right after Brody had died. So I was like really in like just a dark place. Mm-hmm. And so maybe this was only a fucking year ago. Jesus, year and a half ago? I guess almost 2 years, January. Yeah, year and a half. Mm-hmm. But so I was like chain smoking cigarettes in the back. I'm like, what am I doing? I was like, why am I staying so late? And I couldn't stop. And I was just there. It was like 2 a.m. I'm like, what the fuck? My set's been over for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And then one of the guys that works there was like, oh, my friend wanted to meet you. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, he did? And he was like, yeah, you're his favorite comedian. He's come here twice and you're his favorite. And I was like, oh, cool. He sounds awesome. I was like, he's probably trying to fuck me. He goes, no, he's gay. And I was like, oh, sweet. Someone really likes me, like just needing attention. I'm like, and approval. Like, oh, finally. Somebody said they liked me. And then it just means nothing when people laugh in front of my face. I'm just looking at the one person that hates me. But then I was like, oh, sucks. I can't meet him. And he goes, oh, but he's in town doing a breathwork ceremony. And I was like, oh, I love breathwork. I want to go. And he goes, all right, I'll tell you what it is. He's an ayahuasca shaman. And I was like, oh,
whoa.
I want to do ayahuasca. And he goes, someone just dropped out. You can do it this weekend. And I was like, but I have like 5 main room spots or whatever. He's like, I would cancel them and do it. And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, I think you should do it. It's really, and I was like, I have really wanted to do it. And he's like, just call him. So he gives me my shaman's phone number and I call him. He's South African. And he's just like, his voice is beautiful. And he was the guy that high fived me. It was just like, whoa. So weird because I had kind of had this feeling and I was like, that's why I was there like late, chain smoking, like the whole thing kind of unfolded.
Yeah.
So I canceled all my spots and then I went and bought a bucket. You need a bucket.
To throw up in?
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
They say it's like BYOB, bring your own bucket.
Yeah, bring your own bucket, BYOB, don't shit and puke in the same bucket. No, you shit in the toilet. You can, I think some people.
How many toilets are there for everyone?
There's like. At that place, there were like 2 or 3.
So everyone was going in there 20 people.
I don't think I shit the first time. I was just puking. But I shit the second time.
I hate throwing up, though. How is this a good experience?
It's a different type of throwing up, though. It's like, it's It's like a purging of darkness inside you. It was so crazy, dude. So I was spinning over this guy, right? Uh-huh. And I'm driving out to do this ayahuasca ceremony. It was in San Diego. He had flown in to do it. And so he had, they had rented out this place. And I'm driving out there and I'm just feeling so like anxious about this guy. And I'm spinning and I'm feeling really unloved. And I'm just like feeling so, I was listening to, what's the Kanye song? Where Seth Rogen and them made fun of it.
How could you be so heartless?
No, the one that was like, he takes the sample of like, I don't want to sing. It's too embarrassing for me. Let's get Tommy up here.
I don't know. Dad, I know.
Does he sing?
Yeah, he sings like alternative music, not rap. He's not going to get up here and
do Kanye. I thought you were like, he sings. It's not good.
It's not
right. This is why you're not paying for your shipping.
Dad, no, he's so good. He's so good.
But okay, so.
So you're singing Kanye, you're depressed.
This Kanye song about like nobody loving you. And I'm like, I'm all sad. And I'm just feeling like, you know, unloved and miserable. Mm-hmm. And I go to this ceremony. And when we end up doing the ayahuasca, we do a bunch of stuff. But then when we actually do the ayahuasca, this woman comes to me and is Mother Ayahuasca. And I just start asking her questions. I'm like, why am I spinning? Why am I always anxious about guys? Why am I always so worried about
this person comes to you and you're like, mind?
Yeah, I'm like laying. Okay. And she's like there.
What does she
look
like?
And I'm talking to her. I don't really see an image of her. It's just her presence is there. Uh-huh. And I just start like asking her questions. I was just like rattling off questions. And I was like, you know, I just really want to know, like, why am I always this, like, anxious, feeling unloved, all this stuff? And she goes, oh, it's your dad. And I'm like, duh. Like, how the fuck did I not even think of that?
Did you have a tough relationship with your dad?
My dad is my favorite person. Like, I love him to death. We're so much alike and we're so bonded and stuff. And he was very angry as a kid. But I think the issue mostly was, it wasn't the anger and that sort of stuff because we did work that out. It was, he's old. He's always been old. So and he had heart disease and stuff my whole life. So I've always been worried about him dying. So I've been so anxious about that. Like, don't die, don't die, don't die. That I never really like was with him and present and enjoying my time with him.
And now he's 80.
And now, he's almost 80.
Wow.
And I had to just face in this thing, like my dad is going to die. There's no way around it. It's okay. It's what's supposed to happen. It doesn't have to be this like negative, horrible thing. And I had this whole vision of my dad as like the king of my family. My mom is the queen. And then I have a twin brother and an older brother. So it was Timmy and Max. And then there's me. And Timmy has two boys and Max has two girls. If I have a kid, it'll be a havesy. It'll be bothy. And then, but I was just thinking of our perfect, like beautiful tree. Family and how my dad will like live on through all of us. And I decided I had to have this like funeral for him. This is all while I'm lying there.
Wow.
And like, so I was like, I was eulogizing my dad and I was just like speaking about how amazing he was and stuff. And I started crying like my dad's dead. And I put my hand on my chest and my hand got really heavy. And then my dad's hand was inside my hand. And then his butt, like my dad was inside me, not that way. But, and then like his body was in my body. And then I realized like, we are my dad.
We're all one.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone.
Everyone.
Like that's what's crazy is that you and I and everything.
Yeah.
And, like it's all energy.
It's exactly the same
connected
thing.
And you can't get rid of it. You can't destroy energy. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no way.
Yeah. And no one dies.
There is no death. There's death of a physical body.
Right. And that's why like, when you're saying that with your dog, it's death, like 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been dreaming of him every night. I know. Okay. So then when you're going through all this, how long is it?
Like it's like 6 hours. So I get, they offered the first cup you come up and he gives you like a cup of the ayahuasca and it tastes like shit. They give you a grape to kind of.
What does it taste like?
Like an earthy, chocolatey nastiness.
How long does it take to kick in?
Mine wasn't kicking in at first. And I think I had so much high expectations. I just abandoned my life. Everyone else that went to this weekend had planned it for years. They came from all over the world to do it. Mm-hmm. And I just figured it out the day before.
You were like, it's not working, John.
Yeah. I'm like, come on, dude.
You're like, did you give me the fucking.
But I told him that. I go, what's like, because he comes around and checks on you. Yeah. And he does like, blows like tobacco on you and does like this whole ceremony and spits this like rose water on you. My shaman is so amazing. Mm-hmm. He does a thing where he holds both of your hands in his one hand and he like blows or spits the stuff on you. And it's like just having like surrendering to someone in his hand. And he's just like the vessel of like
the energy.
Yeah. The energy and stuff. So, you know, but he's just so sweet. One of the other times I did it with him, he came up to check on me. He goes like, how are you going? And the light was like coming in from the window behind him. And I was like, glowing.
He looked like an angel.
He looked like a fucking angel. I'm like, dude, I have such a crush on you. And he's like, thank you. I'm just, you're so cute.
But he's gay, right?
Yeah. Okay. No, but he's just like such a like loving right. person. But so he, you know, he came around and I was like, it's not working. And he's like, we're going to do another round. Like, don't worry. And so I just like kind of fell asleep through a little bit. And then I was like, did I miss it? And then freaking out and all that anxiety. That was the thing that I was about to find out when I asked her about it anyway. So then the second cup he offers, come up, do you want to drink again? So that's the next 2 hours. So I was like, fuck yeah, I want to. And then I think he offers it twice or three times. I think I took three. I always will take the most. I want to get to the bottom of all of it. Mm-hmm. I just was so down and ready. Mm-hmm. And we went, it was like 6 hours.
So the second cup, you felt it?
Uh-huh. The second cup, I felt it. And I started to just be like, oh my God. And it was just laying there.
And you just, what do you feel? Relaxed? Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, say I just drank it. Like, what do you feel? Like, how long? Like, a warm feeling?
Some people feel, I don't even remember. Some people feel, you're just in another place. Have you done DMT or anything like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, like, just on another, like, a place that's here, but just another, like, level of it. And some people see a lot of stuff. My friend had a crow come peck out his heart and carried away. It was a black heart.
That sounds terrifying.
Come back and give him a new heart and like a fresh one and sew it back up. People have like crazy visions.
You know what I wonder? I wonder if all that stuff is actually around us all the time. And only when we try things like DMT mm-hmm. or ayahuasca are we able to see it.
Yeah, because like it releases something in our head. Yeah. Like DMT and ayahuasca, it's the same. It's the same chemical released in your brain. Mm-hmm. So it's in us. Right. It's just so interesting. It's like we have the whole world inside of us. And I always wonder because the second time I did it, after I did the part with my dad, and then I like flipped over and it was my mom. So this is your masculine side, this is your feminine side. So it was like interesting. And then like when I leaned over here, it was my mom. And then I had a moment with Brody where I was just like, Brody had died. I mean, it might've been 1 month before and it was just like so fresh, and I was there with my friend. I was next to my friend who works at the Comedy Store, so we were just really in it. And so I was thinking about Brody on the mother side, which was interesting, the woman's side, and I was just thinking about like how sad he must have been and how he didn't feel how much we loved him, and I was like hugging him, and then that's when I had to puke. Like that's when I was like, and it wasn't like I felt nauseous. It was just like, all right, I'm like ready to get this out. And so then I sat up and I just had the bucket there. Like it wasn't like anything like that. And it felt like my ancestors were pushing, helping me like purge out this. And it was like a thick, sweet tasting. It wasn't like
nasty.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Puke, yeah.
Even though it's not like the most comfortable thing, but it felt so good and like everything I had to get out. Mm-hmm. And then it felt like there was like an egg that was caught and then a fucking bird flew out of me. And I think that was like,
did you
Brody.
See the bird?
Yeah. Well, I felt it was, it's, I like
more like
feel
in your
the
mind,
visual.
It's in your mind's
yeah, it's
eye.
Like, I wasn't like eyes open seeing, it was like, I think other people have more, but I felt like a bird fly out of me. And it was just so weird. It was just like,
that's amazing.
And I get these PTSD twitches sometimes. And I'm always like, I think it's like a bird in me.
Wow.
Like that needs to get out.
That's so interesting.
Puke.
Do you feel like you've gotten out most of what a you
lot.
Needed to get out?
I think it's a thing I would
do again.
I got to keep doing it, you know, because I just get back, you get gunky again. Like I get like caught up in stuff and I forget the lessons that I learned. And you know, there's always more to learn. And I'm just like looking out at your fucking, this is so beautiful. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. So oh my God. You know, Tommy really wants to try it. He wants to try ayahuasca. I have too much mental illness to try it. I have like schizophrenia in my family and all that. So I'm
well,
like,
you should
scared.
Talk to a person because to like someone that knows what they're doing and see if that's okay.
I always feel like I'd be the one that died because I get like paranoid when I smoke too much weed.
Yeah.
I'm like,
so
I freak out when I can't do anything anymore. I'm like, so like I used to be able to do everything. And then all of a sudden I like hit.
Do you feel... Because I've just recently had to stop smoking weed again because I realize it makes me fucking psychotic and it ruins my life.
Yeah.
And I'm the fucking couch girl. I can't believe it. I keep going back to it thinking I can do it, but I never even enjoy it. It's like what I feel, and I'm wondering if you feel, is like when you can't realize you can't do these things, do you feel like this is so unfair? I don't have anything I can do.
I do feel that way. It's like I can't drink. I can't do any drugs. I can't smoke. Like, it's just not, it's not even, it doesn't even feel good anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be fun.
Yeah.
And I used to feel like this was so great. Yeah. And then I don't know, at some point, something just changed. Yeah. And I went like, I do not enjoy this. Like, yeah, this is fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And just became like nasty. And I feel you on the weed thing. Cause I would smoke so much weed, and then I would be like, I'd keep smoking to try to reach something, like, yeah, reach a point, and you never get it.
You never get it, and it doesn't, and then you're, it's like, not only do you not get it, but it just does nothing.
It does not, you just feel like shit. And then you eat, and it's like,
it's a depressant too. Like, it just, it gets in there, and I think it really like feeds your ruminating thoughts, yeah, and lots of spinning. And
I mean, I you know, I love CBD because I have CBD that doesn't have THC in it, which I love that, and that's been really helpful for me. Is just like the good parts of,
yeah,
you know,
it's amazing. It's,
that's the good parts of it. And it's how, like, has ashwagandha rooted in it. I don't know if you've ever taken that. It's amazing. Mm. It's very calming.
Isn't that type of Jew?
Ashwagandha?
Or
Ashkenazi.
Ashkenazi.
Are you Jewish?
I'm not. Shockingly, I'm not Jewish.
Okay.
Quaker, brought up Quaker.
Quaker. Great. We love that Quaker Oats. We love that. We love that in this
house.
I had
some this morning.
You're like, got to keep the family in business.
I got to keep my family in fucking business. I know. Every time I look at him, I'm like, it does look like my dad, kind of. I'm like, daddy?
And it says it's good for your heart.
Daddy, you should have had more of the oats. Why are you in the fucking hospital so much?
Oh my God. You guys, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Annie Letterman on Worst First. Okay, we're back. I'm so intrigued by you because I know you feel all this like struggle and darkness and whatever, but to me, you're very free.
Yeah, no, I do also feel free. And I feel like the thing is, I know that I am a positive person. So when I get negative, it's like, fuck, I'm in a thing. I want to get out of it.
Yeah.
And I do feel, I don't know. I feel like I've overcome a lot of stuff. I think perseverance is like pretty cool.
And you said you had like trauma that you went through when you were younger. Do you talk about that?
I talk about it a lot. I did talk about it on a podcast and I had them pull it because it re-triggered me a little bit recently, but
we don't have to talk about it.
It's just, I was sexually assaulted in high school by my teacher and had to take him to court, and it was a whole thing. And right now I'm really working on releasing the feeling of betrayal and the feeling of like being alone in things. And, you know, I've done a lot of like forgiveness with the actual people, but that like that hanging around of the feeling of the fear of being abandoned by everyone, I think, is what, just because when you speak out about stuff like that, it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It never.
And a lot of people victim blame, which is the worst.
Right.
And a lot of people are, you know, and everyone has fucking opinions when they're not entitled to them. It's not their experience, you know?
Yeah.
Which is really frustrating, I think, especially for women.
Yeah.
It keeps them from speaking out a lot. Although I will say, like, with all of the, like, Me Too stuff and all that, there's been a lot of support.
Yeah.
And, you know, fuck, I can't imagine because I've never gone through that.
I also feel like Me Too went too far, too.
Yeah,
like, there's, like,
a lot
of, like, it's a weird thing. And it's just sort of... What I always work on is just like stay in my own lane, think about my own shit, don't worry about other people's things, and just like do what you got to do. Cause after I did that podcast that I had them pull, the guy was like, this is an important story. And I was like, yeah, but I get rape stories in my DMs all day. It's like very hard to handle after you come out with a thing. Like, and it's nice. I want people to be able to reach out, but
you're also trying to move on and it's mental health.
Yeah. And it's like, I think it was like a big step for me to do that. And whenever I tell these stories, people kind of come down on my parents or like, where were your parents? And then I get so mad at my parents again. And it's like, my parents are in the evening of fucking life. They should be enjoying their time, loving their family. I love them so much. You know, it's like all this focus has been on the things they didn't do right and not on these, like how much we love each other. So
I think this is awesome that you're like having boundaries, because I think that's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Is like also when you grow up with trauma, it tends to turn you into a people pleaser because you want to be loved and accepted.
100%.
So a lot of the time we'll go, you know, we'll constantly do anything we can to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the fact that you told him to take it down is a big.
And he was really nice about it. And the thing is, I really work on like my triggers. So if I say twiggered, by the way, because you're being a baby when you're triggered, and it gets you out of it really fast. You become twiggered and you're like, all right. But it's up to me to handle those, right? So it's like, I need to know the things that are going to like upset me, and I need to learn to either like step away from them or see them for what they are and not be attached to them. And I just was like, I can't, for my family, I can't tell this story anymore, just because, and you can listen to, I told it on Mark Maron, I wept the whole time. I'm not dating the guy I was talking about on there. It's a little embarrassing when you love someone that's
I've found the guy who's so great. You're not with him anymore.
Yeah, no, I literally was like, and he helped me. And I'm like, oh my God. And I look back, I'm like, that was like so traumatizing, that relationship. But also helpful.
I've done that before. It's all a learning experience.
Yeah, and like, you know, he was another traumatized guy. So that was like kind of helpful. But you just get over trauma, you know? And that might even happen to you on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes when you're like,
I talk about trauma all the time.
Yeah.
But part of me is like, you know, I talk about it so much to the point that it's for me, I've talked about my own trauma so much that it loses, like it's less potent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because totally. It's like, I constantly am attacking
yeah.
it
yeah.
and addressing it. Mm-hmm. And I just started doing EMDR. Have you done that?
I want to do that so bad.
Girl, I have the woman. She's fantastic.
Great.
And
That's the eye, right?
It takes the power out of it. Yeah, you can do that, or the tapping.
Oh, the tapping.
I just started. I'm going to talk all about it like next week. I'm doing my another session this week, and I'm in love with it already. Like
it's
even
so cool.
With one session, mm-hmm. you really take the power out of your trauma.
Yeah,
like you really just get down to the little nugget yeah. of it that's yeah. in your body, and you pull it up, and you're like, you are not allowed to be here anymore.
Yeah.
And you just kind of take it apart so much yeah. that it's like, not that it's nothing, it's that it just kind of takes the power out of it.
Yeah, because I always think of this visualization. So the teacher that I had my issue with has dreads. Mm-hmm. He's like yeah. a white guy with dreads. And it's like, so I'm dragging for 20 something years. I've been dragging this white guy with dreads around with me. Like, cut the fucking cord. Like,
yeah.
I was thinking to myself, like, brushing my teeth and he's in the mirror behind me. It's like, I'm looking in a reflect, you know, it's just like, ugh. I just thought of that and I was like, I need to get rid of him. And I realized recently I was still pissed at like my best friend from high school for like not supporting me. I'm like, I'm mad at a 16 year old. Like, imagine me this age being like to a 16 year old, like, you stupid fucking bitch. Like,
what's your sign?
I'm a Cancer.
Cancer. Okay. So you guys are very sensitive.
Yeah, on the
crabs.
Cusp of war. Yeah. Yeah, no, I am. I'm very sensitive and I do take on people's energy a lot. And it's been really good to, as you were saying before, learn boundaries and be like, oh, not my problem.
And also, like, you guys remember stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you remember everything. Mm-hmm. Every Cancer that I've ever met has been like, oh, I remember back in like 1992 when some girl told me I was ugly. Yeah. And like, they're like, I fucking remember that shit.
Oh, for sure. Mike O'Dare, our friend,
yeah.
told me years ago when I was still living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, I was still drinking. It was before I even started comedy. He was like, he said something like that. He goes, well, we're both below average in looks. And I literally thought I was ugly. I was like, oh, we're below average. Okay. And I took it on for
kill him. We're going to murder him after this podcast. The second half of this podcast will be us driving to Mike O'Dare's house and punching him in the fucking face.
Have you seen his new house?
No, he bought a house.
He bought a house.
I remember he lived in that apartment in West Hollywood.
I lived in that apartment with him on his couch.
That's amazing. And like, but listen, Mike O'Dare has no kids. Does he have a girlfriend again or no?
I don't know if he has a serious girlfriend right now.
But yeah, he's 40 something single.
He's
that guy. He's that guy. We love him, but he's that guy.
I think he's gonna settle down though.
Do you?
Yeah,
I
totally do.
At 60 or what?
No, I think he will. I think honestly, Corona, not that he wasn't feeling this way before, but I think Corona
scared
is a fucking nail for people where it's like,
he got it. Our friend got it.
He had the Roni so early.
He got it at a party, right? It was like, and then he said the weird thing was there were a couple girls at the party. Mm-hmm. And they got a very mild version of it. Mm-hmm. Like, they just had a headache.
Yeah, he said he still feels kind of weird. He's like, I don't feel fully myself. That's the scary part about Corona for me.
Yeah, me too. And then he also, the weird thing was, he was like, I remember him telling me, like, one night he was like, I swore I was going to die.
Yeah.
He thought he was really going to die. So maybe it's changed him.
Yeah, most people that I know that had it bad are like, yeah, thought I was going to die. My friend had it before anyone knew about Corona. She had it, like, in the very beginning before they even... We're talking about it. And she was like, she said that she remembers feeling like this exact thought. If I was in my 70s or 80s, I'd be dead right now.
My friend who just got it said that too, which is like so scary. She's like, I know why people that are old don't live. Like, it's scary.
But that's what I'm telling you. That's why I want to like build my immune. I just want to be like the healthiest I can be. And I think I'm like willing my fucking ulcer away. I think I'm doing
it. I think you can. I think our minds are so powerful.
Yeah.
I think they can take us up or they can take us down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious, you know?
Totally.
And the meditation and the breathwork
Breath work is crazy. I had breath work. So going back to the trauma in high school, I was doing a breath work course. And I would, every time I would do a meditation, I'd be like, go to the woods or go here or go there. I was always in these woods outside of my high school, and I went to school in Chestnut Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you remember what Chestnut Hill looks like, but
I know,
like,
Chestnut Hill.
Yeah, it's really pretty. And you know how like Philly has so many like gorgeous woods and stuff. So my school just had this really beautiful little, like, these woods with these paths behind it. So I'd always go there. Of all the places in the world, I've been to fucking Ireland. I've been like to, like, I'm not thinking about that. I can't be in France. I got to be in the fucking, so I wasn't, it didn't even register. And then I did a breath work and this wolf came up to me. And it's so funny because my parents, my dad does all these, the spiritual work, and my parents, everyone has like a spirit animal in my family.
Wow.
And I don't have one.
Oh.
But this was like a breath work. And they were like, if you see an animal or something like that, my dad's is Moon Wolf. That's his spirit animal name.
Moon Wolf.
I love my dad.
You have a very cool progressive family.
My family's so cool. Wow. They're really cool. I'm like, you know, the more I've really worked on letting go of this stuff, the more I'm like, oh, I can let in all of the good stuff.
Yeah, that's very
just
cool.
So, and even the stuff that, the trouble that I got into with them was them really wanting me to like them. So they would just kind of let me do whatever I wanted. I got in a lot of trouble. Right. So they weren't, and that's because of the childhood they had. They were overprotected. Rather than having had trauma. So their trauma was in that. So it was all like an overcorrection. And so I can 100% understand it. But so I'm in this fucking meditation and I see a wolf and my brain goes, oh, that's my dad's spirit animal. That can't be mine. And then I go, oh, of course that's my spirit animal too. Duh.
Because you're part of your dad.
Yeah. I was like, doy.
You're a little baby wolf.
Yeah.
Do you have a name for it?
No, I don't have a name yet, but he was really Wolfie. Cute. I know. I shouldn't just name him more. Randy.
Just Randy is your spirit animal with his bloody eyes. I love you.
Putting all
this
pressure on him. He's bleeding, fucking scratching. He was biting his dick off, too. I was like, oh, my God. And it's so small already. I'm like, you can't afford it.
He's like, you didn't even ask me if I wanted to be a boy.
He's like, I'm sorry we had that gender reveal for you. You poor baby.
He's like, I don't want to be a boy. I'm feminine on the inside.
Dude, everyone's going to be trans is my theory.
I think by like another couple hundred years for
sure. I think
it's
just like 100%.
I feel like
happen.
Right now, everyone's at least a little bit gay.
Yeah.
Like girls, sure. Guys, everyone.
Oh, darn,
like,
some girl told me she was pan. She goes, I'm pansexual.
What is that one?
Well, she couldn't fucking answer it. I was like, I think it means you're fucking anyone you can because it's a pandemic. Bitch. You're kidding me.
Pansexual. I don't know pansexual.
She couldn't answer
it. I have to look it up. I know like sexually fluid. I know like, you know.
I think it's just like you'll fuck anyone.
Wow.
Like you don't, it's not like you're going on personality, but I'm like, that's
interesting.
Whatever.
But I just feel like everyone is going to become one.
And if you think about it, it's like, sometimes I'm like, things are changing and I don't want them. This isn't how it was when I'm like, wait, that is such like the old man next door that was yelling at us for
that's
like
your Quaker mindset.
No, but it's not Quaker. Like Quakers are so like, Quakers are probably like the head of the trans. Like,
yeah,
the Quakers are all about, you know, open-mindedness. I went to a Quaker school and everyone was, all my teachers were gay.
Were they?
They were all like all the lesbians were dating each other.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. All my friends had two moms.
I grew up near Quaker Town.
Yeah, well,
where all the Quaker houses like were, and like it was so interesting. It was so funny. It was like a little blast from the past every time you drive through Quaker Town.
Well, it's so simple.
Yeah,
I started
very
going
simple.
Back to meeting for worship, which is what we call our church. I met this guy online like a year ago who he was a musician, but he was doing a recording a record out here, and he was brought up Quaker. He lived in Philly, but he came out here, and so we went on a date to go to Quaker meeting.
That was your date, the Quaker meeting?
Yeah, it was really cool. And then we just ended up being friends, but it got me wanting to go back to meeting, so I started going back again. But it's kind of like a simple life, and I would go in and like, you know,
they're like
tracksuit and like wear like fake lashes.
They're like, are those Skims?
Yeah, they're like, are you wearing Skims? I'm like, wearing Jordans. Like, what are you doing?
You're like, I eat oatmeal. Okay, give me
like,
a freaking
wearing,
break.
Wearing like hard colored sunglasses. They're like, who is this Quaker? You are not a Quaker.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay, last thing I want to ask you about is like, how do you feel? I know this.
Oh wait, let me finish with the wolf.
Oh yeah, tell
so
me about
the wolf.
Comes
up and the wolf goes, "Let's get out of these woods, dude." The wolf's like, "Let's not be in these woods anymore. We don't have to be here anymore." And I was like, "Oh shit!" And I've never visualized in those woods again.
Wow.
I was so trapped at like something that happened to me when I was like 15.
Right. Yeah, you
forever.
Were stuck there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Little Esther gave me the best advice the other day, which was so sweet. She's like, "I woke up and I had like an epiphany."
Wow,
I was like,
what
was
it?
She was like, because you were molested and the things that happened to you, you're 10 years younger. She's like, give yourself a break. that you would give a 27-year-old. She's like, just relax. She's like, everything you're doing, you're like on track. It's all good.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I totally believe that. I think that when something like that happens to you, it really stunts you mm-hmm. and it keeps you stuck. And so it's really hard to evolve. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I've met so many people that have had, you know, molestation experiences. I've never been molested, but people that I know.
Yeah, maybe in a nursing home. I used to do a bit about that. I was like, but you guys think you were molested? Well,
people that I know, you know, a lot of them are like very young at heart.
Yeah.
Like to them, in their mind, like in your mind to you, you still feel like that 16-year-old girl. Part of
I feel like I just got out of that just in the past like few years. Yeah. Like I remember, I would say I was well into my 30s when I realized like, oh, I shouldn't buy cigarettes for kids. I was like, oh, wait, I'm like, oh, that's bad. Like, yeah. Don't buy cigarettes
yeah.
for kids.
Yeah.
Not that I was doing it, but you know what I mean? I was like, yeah. Oh, stop. Don't side with a teenager.
Because you felt you were related. You're like, that's my mindset. Exactly. Yeah. You know, I have another girlfriend who she's the same way. She's in her 30s. But talking to her, you'd think you're talking to like an early 20s girl. Because she's just, she hasn't worked through all of it.
Yeah. I had a friend who was really like overweight when she was a kid. And then she got the surgery when she was in her 20s. And so she got like really hot. And then she was talking about dating, was like talking to a middle school. It was so cute. I was like, oh my God.
She's like, guys like me now. Like she's sometimes like, they tell me I'm really pretty.
Yeah, it was so funny. I was like, oh my God, you're so cute.
I know. You know what's actually really funny is that like, it's kind of sad. It's like the girls who I know that have been heavy and then gotten really skinny are like the best people because they still have the personality of that when they were heavy, that they're so extra nice and sweet. And so now they're like super hot and they have that personality they still in their head think they're, you know, fat, but they're not anymore. Peggy, the sweetest people.
My girl Peggy O'Leary, I used to live with her. I found her once drinking a bottle of champagne by herself in her room, reading a book called Fat, Nice Girls Finish Fat.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It's the funniest name of a book. But I'm honestly the sweetest person in the world. But you're right.
That's the thing. Like in their head, no matter what, like everyone that I've known that has been heavy before, they're like, still have that really, like, so just they're used to like being people being mean to them because they're heavy and then they're so sweet. Okay, the last thing I want to ask you about is how do you feel about this stuff that's come out on the news about the, you know, the alien stuff. Have you heard about it? Like, basically,
looked at any alien stuff.
Okay, so basically, the Israeli government came out in like very public way and were like, we've met with aliens and we just want everyone to know that.
When did they say this?
This was like a week ago. Joe Rogan talked about it too. Everyone, but they said that, and this is weird because I've watched like this, I'm really into this stuff.
Yeah.
I watched this documentary called Capturing the Light, and it's like this old lady that filmed them in her backyard in Canada, like years and years ago. And they said the same thing to her that these people are saying,
what'd they say?
That the human race isn't ready. We're too scared. The thing is that they're so evolved and we're evolved, but we're actually the least evolved out of every species that's out there. And basically what would happen is because like, for instance, like, you know, when you go up to a raccoon or something, you're like, oh, it's so cute and sweet. Like, I just want to hug it or whatever. Like, at least my reaction, right? The raccoon's terrified of you, right? We're the raccoons.
Right.
So it's like, they don't want to hurt us, but we are so scared of them. Right. Like, we are like, what the fuck? Right. You know, and us as people are so aggressive that we would cause war and we would be violent.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to come out down here yet until we're more evolved. But they released an official statement saying, we've met with them. We know about them. They're real. And everyone was like freaking out.
So are Israelis the closest to being?
I don't think they're the closest. I think that they're the only ones that came forward and admitted it. Like, I think the U.S. government knows. Right. I think all the Area 51 stuff.
Well, what do
like,
we do to get them to come now?
I think we have to evolve. And I don't think it's going to be for another couple hundred years. I think we have to get to the point.
Now I'm going to have fucking kids. I could live for it.
Yeah,
do you want to have kids?
You know, I did, and then like I just worry about my mental health because you know
you just don't want to put shit on your.
I don't want to put shit on my kids. Number one, number two, I know that like when my mom had kids, something changed. You know, and it does sometimes for women. Like it can trigger something or set something off, and it made her worse. Apparently, like from what I hear from my dad, and so I would never want to get pregnant and have a kid and then get worse in my mental health, and then I'm raising this kid, and I'm sure. So I'm just, you know, I'm in a way I'm being selfish, but I'm also being selfless because I don't want to, you know what I mean? I have dogs.
Yeah. I know they're so cute. Yeah. I know I'm undecided, but I definitely work on myself in a way. Like sometimes I have just these like fits of rage and I'm like, I can never do that. Like that's just the thing I have to work on. And I have, because when I was a kid, I would have, my dad's like that. So I saw that like rage and, you know, and
like
I
out of nowhere, you would get really
Just get so triggered and, you know, and my friends like thinks it's a PTSD response.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, you know, it's like when you feel that like you're being flooded with, you know, something or, you know,
does it come out of nowhere?
It won't come. It's usually like triggered by something happens. Yeah. But it could be something small that like, to me, it hit something big in my memory or something. I'm like, but it's something that I work on because it's just really so unfair to the people around you when you do that. It's just like scary.
Yeah, I know. People get afraid. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because they're like, oh my God, am I going to set this person off?
Yeah. And then am I going to set you something in you off or whatever? So I've been working on that. And I think about that, like, I don't feel like ready quite yet that way.
Yeah. I mean, no one's perfect. Like, that's the thing. We're not perfect, you know? And I look at my parents, and I had a hard relationship with my mother, and she's borderline personality disorder. She has a lot of the, like, you're like, ooh. But, so I grew up with that, like, unpredictability. Like, what's going to happen? How's this person going to react?
Are you anxious attached in relationships?
Absolutely. Anxious all over, in general. Just codependent, like, very, please love me. Please don't leave me. Please don't freak out on me. Please. Like, I will literally put myself in the worst situation just to make sure someone else is comfortable.
Right. Totally.
Like, I'm like, go ahead, spit on me.
Oh, my God. Whatever makes you cozy. So many people. Pretty much everyone I fucked, I could unfuck. I'm just like, so many times. I had to have that realization, like, maybe 5 years ago.
You're like, I don't want to make them feel awkward, even though I don't want to do this.
I don't even know. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, I'm putting these strangers above. But I've really learned, like, even more so this year, my assistant is very good with this.
Yeah.
His parents really, because his parents, I'm like, what did they do? He's so securely attached. I've never
my husband's like that too.
Hired anyone securely attached before. And it's so nice to just not, because the last guy I dated was, what's the other one? Avoidant. And it was like a fucking nightmare. You're in hell all the time.
Do you like me? You don't? You're okay. Like,
wait, you don't?
And then you're insecure.
I'd just be like sitting there crying.
The tone of their voice or like the way they talk to you or don't pay attention to you, or they pay attention to you one day and then pull back. Oh, and you're like,
or play you the piano, play you a favorite song while you're leaving. It was just like this dance. And then it's like, I'm like, that fucking asshole. But I'm like, he's just what he is. It's like nothing. It's that magnet to each other. But it's so incredible. But I was like, what did your fucking parents do? And he's much younger than me, too.
So are they still together, his parents?
Mm-hmm.
And what?
My parents are, too.
So he had a great childhood.
His parents are from Jersey, sort of. I mean, not, like, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But what his parents taught him was, like, you take care of yourself first. And I think that that is the thing that I crave so much, because my family is me. So I'm so protective. And I was so, I was always dealing with, like, why did my parents not protect me? Why did they not be, like, what about us? And my parents are these, like, kind Quakers, and they want to trust people, and that kind of turns into codependency, where it's like, here, take my kid, even though this is a dangerous person.
Mm-hmm.
These people don't trust you, but we'll be the ones that trust you with our kid,
because they're trying to be good people,
right?
Trying to put that kind of like love in there. I know, and that's the hard thing I'm learning in life, is like, not everyone has the same heart as you,
right?
So it's like, well, we're always trying to like appease and make people feel cozy and be like, you know, you're safe, like everything's good, don't stress. Not everyone's that same way back.
And my mom really, we were in a fight when I was just really dealing, because I had all the stuff that happened to me, I just blamed myself for it, because it was just such an easier thing to do. If you blame yourself, that's yours, right? You have control over that. If you realize that all of the adults in your life let you down when you were a kid, that's fucking scary. Like, my brain couldn't do it. So I just was like, obviously I'm trash, I'm terrible. I used to wear a necklace that said pig. It was funny. It was hilarious, but my ex-boyfriend like tore it off my neck and was like, you're not a fucking pig, like, stop. And I didn't realize like I had been like telling myself this stuff, and I thought I was like being funny, and you know, I was just so self-deprecating, but it was real. Like, I really felt that. And when I to heal that, I had to get very mad outwardly, and then now it's about not having the anger outward or at myself, and just being like surrendering to what's going on, and just being like, seeing how much love that I have, and that was what was so funny about going into that ayahuasca ceremony, being like, I'm unloved. And then I was like laughing by the end of it. I'm like, my family loves me so much.
So much.
And my mom, this is what I was going to say. Sorry, I have ADD. But my mom was like, when I was yelling at her in this time, I was like, you know, like, why weren't, like, I would protect any of you. I would like do anything for you. Why didn't you protect me? And like, why don't you protect, like, and she goes, not everyone is like you. Like, we don't show our love the same way as you. And she was just like, that's, and she's like, doesn't mean we don't love you. It's just not the same. And I think that was important for me to hear because it helped me understand that, you know, she's, whatever happened with her is what informed her to be the way that she is. And the way that, that she is what informed, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like this whole.
And we all have different love languages. It's so hard. And, you know, we are so self-centric in our thoughts that we are think everyone thinks like us. We think everyone has the same thoughts. Everyone's on the same page. Like, why are they not vibing?
I thought everyone was molested by their teacher. I'm like, you guys were molested by your teachers?
And like, has the same way of dealing with things. So when people don't understand you, you're like, why do you not understand me? Yeah. Like, but it's so interesting. Everyone's love languages are so different. Like Tommy's, for instance, I'm affectionate, like that's showing affection, giving gifts, like being loving.
Yeah.
Tommy is acts of service. So he'll be like, oh, I'll make you something or I'll do something for you. That's like, how he shows his love.
Some money?
Yeah. I'm like, why don't you eat this pussy? Yeah, eat this acts pussy. Of service. Yeah. My dad unsubscribes the podcast. He's like, all right, too much. But you know what I mean? Like, it's so interesting. I read that book by Don Miguel Ruiz, the love language book, and I understood. I was like, oh my God, it's so weird how everyone has different ways of, we're all different, but we're all the same. You know what I mean?
It's, and also it's okay. You know what I realized with my anxious attachment was I felt like if this person didn't want me, it was like I was trash or something. And it's like, it's who gives a fuck if someone doesn't want to be with you? Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's like my narcissism had to be like, I have to be like, everyone has to want me or whatever. And I, all these girls that I see with like, with the biggest issues, I would say, are girls that are trying to be like the number one of something when that's not a thing. You know, it's like, you got to be your number one of you.
And
you hear that?
Yeah, you do. You got to be your own number one. And by the way, how much better is wanting than having? Because once everyone gets what they want, it's eventually kind of, you know, no matter who it is, no matter what it is, like you're, you know, you love someone and love is continual and it's up and down and it you know, goes all different ways and whatnot. But it's like, it's so interesting to me that like that first spark when you first enter a relationship and you have that excitement.
Yeah.
That's the fun part.
Yeah.
Before you have the person.
Right.
And when you have them, it sort of just plateaus. Yeah. You're like, oh. Yeah. This is just what it is now.
And then you're just like, it's more, I guess what I look for now is like, it's just support. Like, what's going to help me be my best? Uh-huh. What type of person? And am I doing that for them? And it's just so different from the relationships that I had in the past because it's the, they were like, it was just so tense all the time.
Well, they were probably
so passionate. Yeah. And so, you know, like, you know, I, my past self would have looked at this and probably been like, this is so boring. But I'm like, no, this is so fucking healthy. Relaxing and healthy. Yeah. And then like, from here, now I can do all this stuff.
So I actually read a thing about people that have gone through trauma, any kind of trauma as children. It changes our brain chemistry. So basically what happens when we get into relationships as adults, we crave that like dopamine hit from if there's not chaos going on and then kindness that gives us that hit of dopamine, then we don't know what to do.
Right.
So in healthy relationships, when things are just healthy and steady, we kind of freak out a little bit because we're like, where's my dopamine hit? Where's my like, where's my rejection and then like my love? Where's my you know, where's my rejections and then acceptance? You know, we're used to this. And then when it's like this, we're like, what the fuck are we supposed to do with this? It's hard.
Important for me in those situations to not like push it and be like, aren't you gonna fucking yell at me? Like, you know,
should we dig back up my pig necklace?
Like, what if I'm a pig? You know?
He's like, okay. He's like,
I'm playing video games. Why are you doing this? I love you.
Isn't it funny when you're with someone healthy?
Yeah.
That's how Tommy is too. He's like very easygoing. Like, you know, I had a lot of trust issues because I dated guys who like were constantly cheating. Yeah. Well, not dated guys. Most of the guys I was with before my last boyfriend were so great. And then my last boyfriend before Tommy was an absolute cheater nightmare. And always lying. And so I got really fucked up from that. Yeah. And so when I moved in with Tommy, I was like, let me see your phone. Let me check everything. Yeah. And like never find anything. So you just get kind of like, you're like, what is this? You're talking about fucking tacos with your friends?
I know.
Boring.
I know. You check up on them. And
like, where's the DMs? Where's the...
They're just like, my girl's cute or something. You're like, oh, you're like saying I'm cute?
He's like telling people how much he loves me. Yeah, I'm like, gross. Ew.
Like, there's like, no bikini bitch you want to talk to. On, you're not DMing any girls.
There's no saved photos of other people's wives. There's
nothing.
Just so healthy.
I know. Oh, the worst is like, because I'm usually pretty trusting and then yeah. like something will happen. I had a boyfriend who I was like, I was looking for, he had gotten in a fight with someone mm-hmm. and it was very embarrassing for me. So I was like trying to not, like I was trying to make sure they weren't still fighting.
Yeah.
You wouldn't tell me the truth. And I was uh-huh. like, well, you can't have like a public thing again.
Yeah.
Like I don't.
Right.
And when I looked in his phone, he had texted his ex-girlfriend from before me. About how I was boring.
Oh no, that by the way, creates
I was
trust
financially
issues.
Supporting him.
Yeah,
I was a fucking banging girlfriend, and it was just like so crazy. And I thought we were like gonna be together at that point. So I was like, "What? How I was boring?" And he couldn't wait to make money and come win her back. And I was like, "Bro, first of all, when you make money, you owe me.
You're
not paying this bitch. This bitch isn't gonna see a penny. The fuck are you talking about?" Excuse me?
So did that create an issue for you?
We broke up after that. Okay. I mean, it was like we waited. Like I stayed with him for a little bit after that, but it was just like
that. Once
you
see that,
the way
you
talk about me to other, like, how dare you speak of me?
So fucked up.
Yeah.
If I ever saw that, I wouldn't be able to like.
It was like because we would get in fights, and he would say really nasty stuff. He was very good with words. I was actually doing a bit about him before the pandemic about where like. He would say stuff that was so, like, I'd be like, oh my God, like, you listen.
Like, he would repeat like, stuff that you said.
He would say stuff that I said in, like, a loving, and like, when I was telling him about my traumas or whatever, and he would bring it back in a fight, and I'd be like, damn, like.
Wow, he actually listened to
what
I said.
Yeah, you're a listener.
Yeah.
I love you.
It's so hot.
You're the best. You're the best boyfriend I've ever had. But when he did that, I was like, that's his trauma, whatever. But then when I heard the way he was talking about me, I was like, oh, no.
No, you can't be with someone that
boring,
does that
bitch.
Secretly behind your
and
back.
And also, boring is not, that's not the thing.
Yeah, and that's not even an insult. It's like, oh, you're healthy. I hear boring, I hear healthy. But anyway. Guys, this has been an amazing podcast, by the way.
This was
love
so fun.
Having you on here.
Yeah,
this
come to
great.
Mine sometime.
I would love to. Yeah, we all, I mean, I always get into like mental health stuff on here, which is great. And like, we're always talking about it. I just had Dave Navarro on last week, and he went through some serious shit when he was younger, and it was just like amazing. So
Ink
I love
Ink Master.
Yeah,
related.
Yeah. No,
like
no,
got
not
some bad
ink,
tattoos.
Not Ink Master
and he
related.
Get
no, his mom was murdered when he was 15.
Oh my
How
God!
Crazy
I
is
just
that?
Watched a thing about a guy's getting mom getting murdered. I've been thinking like, if someone murdered my mom,
it was horrible.
I would that would suck the most out of anything.
And
I was just thinking
and he
that
like
the worst.
Saw it coming, which is horrible. And he like couldn't protect her, and like he was 15. And
oh
so, there's a documentary called Morning Sun, like Morning, on Amazon about him, and it's intense. I watched it before. He did
That's
the podcast
so
and I was like,
wild.
Dear Lord, no wonder this guy is like the way he is. But he's amazing. He's evolved greatly.
I know that's
what's
so I feel like so important. And obviously if this is what your podcast is about, you know, it's just like we all have our shit.
Yeah, that's why it's called Worst First. Yeah. I mean, it started more like people talking about their worst like dates or like drug trips or whatever. But then like I've had people on, they're like, yeah, this is like my worst time when I was like so depressed or this is the worst trauma I've been through. And, you know, it's good. I think it's good to talk about real shit instead of everyone just sugarcoating their lives all the time. Being like, I'm great.
Really weird. Yeah. Instagram has made things weird.
Yeah, because not a lot of people share their truth.
Right.
And you're like, why am I feeding myself this? I'm just ingesting bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I do love that you share your truth. You're always on there. You put like acorns on your titties or whatever. I call them acorns too. They're pine
cones.
I know,
and everyone was like DMing me. Like, they're not. I'm like, shut the fuck up. You guys are such losers. You're
okay,
welcome.
We get
you
it.
Me.
You know what a pine cone is.
Yeah, I'm like, awesome. You're still never going to see my tits unless you Google it because they're on there.
Okay, guys, well, follow Annie Letterman on Instagram, Twitter. You have everything, right?
Yes. Twitter sucks. I'm not
Twitter
into
sucks.
It.
So
Instagram,
follow her on Instagram.
And then subscribe to my YouTube. It's just Annie Letterman.
Yes,
that's where I put my podcast.
And what is your podcast called?
It's Meanspiration.
Meanspiration. Okay. Yeah. And guys, make sure to try out her podcast. She's very intelligent, funny girl. Support women. Women supporting women. I've loved having you on here today. Follow Annie Letterman. And spell your name out for everybody.
It's AnnieLetterman.
There you go. So don't mess it up.
Were you 215?
I was 215
for years. 215 for life.
215 for life. And we're out.